Welcome everybody to our council meeting, Monday the 30th of January. We only have one apology, Councillor Cherish. We put in a leave of absence, so we can take that as an apology. Table of contents, we're adding one item to 13, it'll be 13.5, so that we include the code of conduct policy review.
We need a motion.
And we need a motion. We need a motion now to include that. So, Councillor Lambert,
yes.
And Councillor Andrews, all those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Acknowledgement of country. We acknowledge and pay our respects to the Tasmanian Aboriginal community as the traditional and original owners and continuing custodians of this land on which we gather today, and acknowledge elders past, present and emerging. Now, does any councillor have any pecuniary interest? I just would like to make sure for the tape that Councillor McCullough, you don't have any pecuniary interest, not in 5 Eastley Road.
This goes on,
yes, it is. It's only a note in one of the financial reports.
Page 195,
210073. It's only a note. Confirmation of our council meeting minutes, Monday the 12th of December. Have a mover and a seconder, please. Councillor Brooks and Councillor Boss. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Okay, we have a notice on motion here regarding the airport rates. Councillor McCullough.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about the airport rates. Situations have been going on for several years. It was part of the last council, if not the last two councils, I believe. To date, we've expended around $300,000 worth of money on this already. And at this stage, as far as I see it, we're at first base. It's gone to the High Court, and then it was referred back to the officiating judge in the first instance, and then it was he's maintained his exact position. Had the same decision twice. When this came to life several years ago, I actually did a bit of investigation. I went all the signs around in town, and I checked as to why a council would take on an airport. The only time I've ever seen a council build an airport, or someone build an airport, was in the castle, and that was about 30 years ago. That was all about the vibe, but anyway. But what I'm suggesting is that I went and checked out with a guy that knew about it, and he said to me that the reason the airport's rating system's so different and it's quite unique is because they've got so much infrastructure that's not rate bearing. They've got runways and big facilities and stuff like that. As I understand, we're not paying the lease.
Sorry to interrupt you, Councillor McCullough. You need to move a motion and then get a second.
I'm going to move the motion.
The notice of motion that you put forward.
Yeah.
Right, okay. And I need a seconder.
Yep, I'll second.
Councillor Brooks, okay, then. Councillor McCullough, continue.
Okay, sorry, thank you. So, as far as I understand, we're not part of the lease, and there's a document tonight which I don't know if I can discuss, but even if we were to somehow fathom and conjure a win out of this, there's no end point as to what we would be receiving as far as rating goes. There's a lot of hearsay here as to what we receive, but then again, that would come down to the jurisdiction of the judge. But I maintain the position we won't be in this situation. And there was numbers bandied about today projecting for 70-odd years, which I find quite crazy. Some advice that we've been given, I don't need to go into it in detail, I can't, but I would say generally that solicitors will always tell you win, and I'm sure the airport's saying they're going to win it to the other side of the equation. So I can't see why we would want to waste more money on this. I think that this money would be better utilised in the community. $300K is about the equivalent of 150 people that pay their rates just so we can go and chase an airport for rates that are perceived to be owed. I don't know where we actually got this from, but anyway. The other interesting thing is, at the time of amalgamation, when we've got our biggest asset there, the crown, if you like, the airport, at the time of amalgamation, it's been discussed in boundary adjustments why we want to jeopardise the relationship with the airport. It's obviously pivotal to what we do out of TransLink and stuff like that, so I just can't see why we would want to go one step further on this at all, and I think we should be cutting it down immediately.
Any further discussion? Councillor Adams?
I oppose the motion. It's a matter of principle. It's a matter of fairness. Just because you have an airport or a big corporation doesn't mean you just roll over and let them do whatever they want to do. And that's exactly what this corporation wants to do. The loss of future rates is enormous for this municipality, and the battle is worth fighting, it has been, and it's a typical situation of 4 years. The big corp, plenty of money, plenty of public relations, go out there and endeavour to squeeze down the small council. But we have right on our side, and we should argue right to the end, and I believe the advice is true. If you can't believe what the professional advice you get from whatever level, whether it's legal, engineering or whatever, you really have some problems. So I certainly oppose this. I believe that it's a pretty daunting approach to run this motion when by council when you're actually looking to make decisions for the future. I think the original outcome should have been a political outcome. The original release says, and the original, and I'm chasing up the second reading speech at the moment, is that the corporation should pay the equivalent of rates to the authority, whether that's the state government through land tax or local councils. But of course, what's been going on is that in the court, the corporation has argued, councils are not a part of this lease, so therefore they can't be heard. Technical issue from a legal point of view. Not a fair principle at all, just something to try and win the argument. So I certainly oppose this, and I would hope other councillors do as well.
Councillor Brooks.
Yeah, I supported Councillor McCullough's motion. I've been against chasing this money for quite some considerable time. We've ran a race for a very long time, and we need to accept the umpire's decision. We can't keep appealing and appealing and appealing. The only one that's going to win here is the legal fraternity, who spent $300,000 ratepayers' money that could be well spent anywhere in the municipality. I'm sure that we can negotiate a fair and equitable rate, nominated rate, that the airport will pay, which they have been paying at the moment. And I just think that we're going to be throwing good money after bad to try and trace this money. And if you get legal advice, our legal advice, yes, we can take our legal advice, but their legal advice obviously is different. So there's not going to be a winner here. And like Councillor McCullough said, the relationship between the airport and the council, we need to improve that relationship to have a long-lasting relationship in the future with TransLink and all what's going on over the airport. So I urge councillors to let's cut our losses and move on, accept the umpire's decision and move on, and let's negotiate a really good fair rate with the airport.
No further discussion? Yes?
I'd just like to comment. I think there's been some fair points raised by both sides here. I think a negotiated outcome is obviously ideal for everybody, and I would suspect that there's a political outcome here maybe involving the Commonwealth. And I support the principle of businesses at the airport being rated, just like a coffee shop on the other side of the Edendale Rotary or a parking business. Rates are part of their business, so I think there's an issue there with fairness. I obviously am concerned about the amount of money that we're spending. I'm prepared to oppose the motion at this stage, but I'm looking at negotiated settlements for the council in the future. That's my point.
Councillor Adams?
Yeah, I'm
Any further discussion? I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against?
Aye.
Aye.
Those against, put your hand up, please. For myself, Councillor Adams, Councillor Goss, Councillor Lambert, Councillor Andrews, sorry, I'm going to get the wrong one tonight, and Councillor Archer. Their motion's lost. We have a second notice of motion.
I'd like to put a second motion.
Yes, Councillor McCullough.
Look at our options for amalgamation or situation there. I've read the reports from the.
Councillor Brooks, second that, did he?
Yes.
Sorry, yeah.
Sorry, Councillor
McCullough. I've read the report from the after the first two stages, and it's found three pathways forward, and those being that significant and mandated sharing and consolidation of services, which we do now, that hasn't been a massive success. Significant boundary consolidation to achieve fewer larger councils.
Oh, sorry, I should have done the same thing as before. You need to move the motion and have
sorry,
a second.
They have.
You seconded it.
So was I.
I beg your pardon.
Well, I haven't seconded it.
No. I need a seconder.
What's happening?
So we've got a mover, but I need a seconder. Sorry.
Big apologies. I'll second it. Councillor
Brooks. My apologies. Okay, Councillor McCullough.
Second thing was significant boundary consolidation to achieve fewer larger councils, and a hybrid. Third was a hybrid model combining both service and boundary consolidation. So, reading through the report, it seems to be a fairly heavy weight on number two, which is significant boundary consolidation to achieve fewer larger councils. And while we might agree or disagree with that, the government has spent an enormous amount of time, money, and resources to get this report, and I don't think there's going to be an outcome that's going to be palatable to a lot of councils. My position is that we should be on the front foot, having discussions with other councils as to what we might be able to do. Nothing more than that, but I think that we should be taking the bull by the horn so we control our own destiny, as opposed to being told in 6 months' time this is what you're going to do. So I think that we should be proactive in this situation. I think that the government has spent so much money, and if you read there, it's a once-in-a-generational opportunity to change the way we do local governance. So the wording is fairly significant, the report's fairly significant, and there's a fair bit of push on to the pros for point two. So my position would be we should be introducing a situation to at least have discussions with other councils as to what might come of that.
Councillor Andrews.
I'll be voting against this motion. I think namely because I think we're taking the cart before the horse. We're only on to draft two of the review from the review committee that are putting together options on where we go and how we reform local government. We haven't even got the final report yet. Their draft two review has to go out to the community and councils for consultation and comment yet, and then they'll go back and do their final report. So we've got the cart before the horse. And also on principle, I'll be, unless I'm persuaded in the next little while, I'll always vote against amalgamation. In my former life as a journalist, I was heavily involved in arguments and campaigns for amalgamation in the past, over the past 20 years or so in Tasmania, and did a lot of research where similar things happened in New South Wales and Victoria. And all the information that comes back from amalgamation is that it doesn't save money and you lose your local representation. And so unless I'm persuaded otherwise, I will always vote against amalgamation. There's better ways of reforming local government.
Councillor Lambert.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Councillor McCullough, for putting this motion forward. I too cannot support it. I'd like to endorse the comments that Councillor Andrews made. But I also just want to mention the fact that we as a new council haven't had the discussion yet as to where we sit with this, whether we support amalgamation or whether we support the continuation or the development of a resource sharing model. We haven't actually had that discussion, so I can't support for that very reason. We haven't been able to sit down at the table and look at the documents, all of the documents, look at the past, work that council had done on resource sharing and working with other councils on that, and putting all of that information together to come up with a collective view that we would take out as a council. So, and until we do that work, I think this might be just a little bit premature at this stage. And the other point is, I was unsure as to why those three councils were chosen. Anyway, there didn't seem to be a lot of background there about why those three, why not three other councils. I'm not quite sure about
just
why.
Did Councillor Lambert's got the floor?
Yeah, okay, so that one wasn't clear. But I think the main reason for me is the fact that as a new council, we have not had the discussions and the debate. We haven't been out to the community. We haven't got their views on it as well. So we cannot presume that they are all for amalgamation or against amalgamation and for other forms until we have those discussions. So that's my reason why I won't be able to support at this point.
Any further discussion? Councillor Brooks.
Yeah, this is another topic that's been on the council radar for a while. We've dipped our toe in the water with resource sharing that we do with Meander Valley. So I'm pretty sure that's probably why Councillor McCulloch added Meander Valley Council there. As we do resource share with them, we probably could do a lot more in the resource sharing side of it. We chose not to. I think this motion, It's a good starting point to get people talking. Obviously, we've got too many councils in Tasmania, and we need to reduce the amount of them to be sustainable. I want to see this council be sustainable. I don't want to see it being taken over by Launceston City Council in years to come, or they change the boundaries and we lose certain assets that we've had, like the airport, TransLink, we'll potentially lose those if we sit on our hands. So I see this as a good opportunity to flush out new ideas, and that's really what I second that motion for. It's a good starting point to get us to the table, get all the councils to the different councils to the table. We've got the Meander Valley Council, Breaker Day, Glamorgan, Spring Bay. They're our boundaries. No good having Sorrell Council, Hobart City Council as a potential on that list. So I'd say it'd be a really good starting point for those three councils and see what their ideas would be. You know, is our municipality too large? Can we get rid of certain parts of it? You know, who knows? They're all good conversations to have. I don't think we should be scared of the word amalgamation. I'm definitely not scared of the word amalgamation. I think whatever's the best for the municipality is the way to go. You know, we shouldn't be worried about saving our jobs. At the end of the day, it's all about the community and what's best for the community. And if that means reducing the councils down to whatever amount, I think we get on the front foot and start the ball rolling.
Any further discussion? Councillor Goss.
Quickly. Number one thing is that I think about it in the future is that in 10 years or 20 years or 50 years or 100 years, will there still be 29 councils? Probably not. So it's going to happen sometime in the future. I agree with the comments that it's probably not quite the right time yet, but I do think there is going to be some type of combining of councils in the future. I think the most important thing to me was what Councillor Lambert said about we need to talk to our municipality first. That community, they got it's their community, it's their Northern Midlands. We need to talk to them first and listen to them before we start coming in any of these types of tracks. Thank you.
Councillor Adams.
Thank you, Mayor. I have an open mind on motivations, but the state government has set up a committee which is looking quite seriously at this matter and about our council right through the state. I think we should give consideration to that report and when it comes down in its final term. There's opportunities still being put into that. So I think this is much advanced. What are we going to talk about? I mean, who's going to be the general manager? How we run an election? I mean, what's the, you know, how many graders we got? How many trucks we got? How much plan? How many utes? I mean, you know, what are we going to talk about if there's no foundation to move on to something?
We haven't got the Central Highlands on this. There's not, we should have the Central Highlands. There's always been a link between this area and the Central Highlands as well. But I think this is much too early. Let's get the report down. Let's give that consideration as a council. And then wherever we go in that direction, we can go in that direction.
Okay, I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against?
No.
Put your hands up if you're against, please. Myself, Councillor Adams, Councillor Goss, Councillor Lambert, Councillor Andrews and Councillor Archer. The motion's lost. Councillor Andrews and Councillor Archer.
Thank you.
I beg your pardon. I've missed the date of our next meeting. Date of our next meeting, here we go. It'll be at 5 p.m. on Monday the 20th of February, in person only. So, thank you. Okay, our council committees. The confirmation of their minutes. Councillor Adams and Councillor Goss. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Now, their recommendations. The Campbelltown District Forum, they have a recommendation here around the Campbelltown underpass that the Council Right to State Growth and Convey Campbelltown District Forum suggestion for a community art project at the underpass. Councillor Lambert and Councillor Adams. Any discussion?
I think it's a fantastic idea, something that we should support as a council, something that will help with a bit of ownership back to the community on that development.
I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. They have a recommendation here around the King Street Reserve Willow Tree in the River. I gather that's been completed, so we probably don't need to do anything.
Resolved,
yes. One about the eradication of wild rabbit populations. The recommendation is that we note the recommendation. There's quite a few of our communities got issues with the rabbits, including at Gipps Creek. We need a motion, though. We need a mover and a seconder. Councillor Adams?
I'll move, aye.
Yep. And?
Aye.
Yes, Councillor Archer?
I'm concerned about the rabbits. It's been a constant problem in Rossborough since I've been on council for 10 years. It's been a rabbit problem. Now, we have a bit of a rabbit problem here down by the caravan park and down in that area, but if you go to buy a rabbit, it's pretty difficult to get. And I used to catch a lot when I was a boy, but there's a lot less in some places than there used to be. So I don't know why Ross has got an infestation.
Obviously Campbelltown as well from this committee. I'll put the recommendation. Councillor Andrews.
Our officers might be able to tell me whether I'm right or not, but my understanding is that the state government don't want to be involved in laying Khaleesi virus to the end of the rabbit season, or not at the beginning of the rabbit season. Because if you lay it when there's small rabbits around, they become immune to the Khaleesi virus, so it doesn't work. So would it be appropriate for council to perhaps write to state growth, isn't it? Natural resources.
Yeah.
To say, to recommend on behalf of our communities, and there are a lot in Northern Midlands that are suffering from a rabbit problem, that when it's appropriate to lay Khaleesi virus.
Yeah. We should have noted that, but we automatically do that. But we should have noted that in the report.
Yeah, okay. Good.
Okay, I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. They have one around the mowing on the eastern side of West Street, and the officer recommendation is that we note the committee recommendation and advise that the verge on the eastern side of West Street between Church Street to Pedder Street will not be included in council mowing schedule. Councillor Brooks.
I've had a couple of phone calls about this item. Is there any chance that we can get that area mowed in front of the houses at least? I know when you look at this photograph, it doesn't do it justice, because you look at it and you think there's no houses within cooey of it, but the actual photo is a bit tricky because back this way there's houses on one side of the road. So, and apparently it used to be mowed. So the council did mow it at some point in time. I'm not sure how long ago they stopped mowing it. Maybe the works manager knows that. But I can't see any reason why we can't mow it in front of the houses at least. I'm quite happy to have it slashed down there because there's no houses, but to have it mowed in front of the house, it's pretty reasonable.
Works manager?
Yeah, if you were talking Church Street or talking around in West Street, we mow in front of Church Street, North Church Street. The second you come around the corner, we do part of that. We don't do any further street up around and mow it here. It's an irritation, the rest of it. It's a sort of unmade street, no houses down further. But you look at coming round to the first part of their block, but no further. I've had this discussion come up before. They wanted to go down to their fence line, which is about 50, 60 metres down the street. No doubt.
I'd be happy if you just mowed it down to the house.
Do we need that in the motion?
Yeah.
So, how would we word that? Mr. McCullough, motorcycle
on West Street down to the back. We need to take out.
Will not be included in the mowing schedule. Yeah. Here we go. Yes. All right. If everyone's happy with that.
Hang on, let's look at it.
Will be included in mowing schedule only to the end of the properties in the street. In West Street, that'll have to be.
Houses.
Yes, houses. Street.
Yep.
Yep. Okay, I'll put
just
that.
Hang on.
Yep.
You haven't got the name of the street there, have
you? Yeah. In West Street at the end.
In West Street? Houses. In West Street, is it?
Yeah.
West Street.
West Street from Church.
Between Church and Better. Yep.
Okay. All right. I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour?
There's no
mover in the second. Oh, sorry. No mover in the
second.
Right. Councillor Brooks.
Second.
And Councillor McCullough. Okay. Now I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. This one's from the Cressy Local District Committee about the dump point location. The officer's recommendation is that we do not investigate the location in Church Street, corner of the park. Councillor Boss.
I move the recommendation.
Do I have a seconder? Councillor Adams. You wish to speak to it?
Councillor Adams. I think it's time we got the dump point at Chrissy. It's been a long time that we've been starting to do it. There's some issues with getting onto the sewage line, but it means that Chrissy is losing out on having as many lands as it probably could be. And again, I think the rec ground is the prime place for it, and we should facilitate that and make it happen.
Councillor Andrews.
No.
Councillor Archer?
Could I just ask a question why people were against the recreation ground being at that point? Was it that community?
Our works manager will probably explain. There was a debate about it being too close to the fence line.
Recreation ground, the sewer is open up there to move away from the fence line, out of the middle of the park, there. Well, the committee looks like to move it down to Church Street. That's right outside the public toilets. And the playground and the kindergarten.
Mm.
So,
it's got to be over the sewer line. Yeah. Okay, I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Evandale Advisory Committee have a recommendation here around short stay accommodation. And the officer's recommendation is a request by their committee that council develop a short stay accommodation be investigated and a report provided to council. Can I move the recommendation?
Mm-hmm.
Councillor Andrews and Councillor Lambert. No discussion? I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour?
Oh,
yes, Councillor Goss.
I know this came from Levendale Volunteer Committee, but would that just be Levendale or was the whole municipality there?
I think there'd be a focus on Evandale, but we would need to look at the whole council area.
Thank you.
Okay, I put the recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Longford Local District Committee, it's a recommendation around the viewing area located on Patina Road. And the recommendation is that the officers meet with the Longford Local District Committee members on site at Newry Corner and provide a report back to council about the proposal, including infrastructure requirements and associated costs. Councillor Adams?
I'll move
the recommendation, and Councillor Andrews is
I think this is a good idea, and it's been some thought going into it, and there's opportunity of good interpretation here of the bridge and the corner in the old motor racing days, and also the views, which was some of the things that getting a very good shot across to the Western Tiers, across the beautiful Northern Midlands. So, this could be developed over the years quite well.
Councillor Brooks.
Also, is this something that we can put on our bus tour to actually go and meet some of the district committee people down there when we have the bus tour in April? Because to sit around the table, you probably don't really appreciate the actual landscape and the beautiful scenery that you wouldn't be looking at just by sitting around here. You really need to see it.
Good idea. Councillor Goss.
My question was about the traffic management. I'm not sure we're going to run a site and hopefully we're going to be in a safe area, but that particular area, I've seen quite a few vehicles parked in the paddock there because it needs to come on. So I just need to be coming at site for traffic.
Mm. Okay, I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Perth Local District... Yes, we'll put that part of the meeting on hold. Councillor Brooks.
I've got some questions here from the District Committee. Can I bring them up now, or do I have to bring them up in the information?
Information items, I would imagine, yes. We're going to public questions.
We'll be coming back.
And we'll come back to this. But the information item is probably the best time. Okay. Okay, this is our public question and statement time.
What's one more to go with Perth, I think?
I do, yes, but the time has come for us to move into our planning side of things. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I should have asked before, just can everybody please make sure that their phones are on silent? Our meeting is recorded, and if anyone would like to do recording, they need to get permission of the General Manager first. Anyone in the public can now ask a question about something that's not related to any of our planning items. You can make a statement or ask a question, and then we'll move into planning and you'll have a chance to ask questions about each of the planning items. So is there any member of the public who wishes to make a statement or ask a question that's not related to any of our planning items? Yes? And you need to state your name and address, and you've got 3 minutes to speak.
Okay, I'm Trudy McLeod. I live at 9 Church Street. I have another property around in King Street, and my property backs onto a larger property of land on the Stock Route.
Which town are we talking about?
Crecy.
Yes.
And I've been told that by a council member that the stormwater drain was actually put in on 10 King Street, an open drain, and then a property developer thought the property next door would be 8, I imagine. And then I have been myself wanting to develop the back part of it, and I was told I had to have a pick and pump. And my son owns property next door. He's been told the same. why doesn't the council actually consider buying that strip of land that goes between my property and the property that backs onto the Stross roof and develop that for a stormwater drain? Because obviously in the future there's going to be development, I was told. Oh yes, the planning of Cressy was 60 years ago and it's 60 years done. Why can't we be proactive and start to develop places around Cressy for development? And that's, I also mean a Church Street and a developer bought beside me in the scaffold, and that was the stormwater was replaced with a small one to a big one, and was for his purpose only, really, because it wasn't done the whole street, it was done outside of my place to the corner of the road, and that was it. And that's the only place in Cressy when we have a big downfall that doesn't overflow. I just want to know, why isn't the town being proactive and putting a stormwater drain into the back of their properties with, you know, with the consultation with that landowner that got back consciousness of the road.
Any comment from the General Manager or the Works Manager?
Not at this stage. All I can indicate is that we've actually had a stormwater management plan done for Cressy. We will just go back and review that and just see what the opportunities are. But at this stage, unable to provide a clear response. But we'll review and come back with an answer.
But how long would that take when people are developing along that strip there? Well, they're going to have to put in other measures.
Well, there's other areas within the municipality as well that need to be looked at. And Council is developing a 10-year plan with regards to infrastructure improvements. It doesn't mean that that would fit into the 10-year plan. They'll look at risk with all the sites, and then Council will make its own determination with regards to which site gets done first. But we need to initially, firstly, do the assessment.
Okay.
Councillor Brooks.
Yeah, I think the Cressy is a growth area now, and I think we've got to realise that, because I know 20 years ago there was no development hardly at all at Cressy. Now when you go to Cressy, there's houses springing up there left, right and centre. So I think there's a lot of merit in getting these things action so the development can continue in Cressy, because there's a lot of things in Cressy that why people move out there. You know, the blocks of land are a little bit cheaper, you know, country living. So there's, the high prices in the city are driving people out into those country areas. So I think it is a good idea that we do sit down and have a serious look at Cressy, because it is, I reckon it will probably be the next growth area in our municipality.
Yeah, I agree. That's why we had these stormwater plans developed, and if we can review that particular area, we'll be good.
But how long will that take? Because
Sorry, Mayor, the applicant used you, they also to progress it yourself, you're able to put an application in, and through that process it can be looked at as well. And that's what normally happens as well. That brings something forward for council to look at earlier. So you have an opportunity to actually develop the site now and make an application for the development. And at that time we would also investigate the stormwater opportunities with yourselves.
Is there anybody else who wishes to make a statement or ask a question about something that's not related to the planning items? Right, we move into planning. Councillor Bosch and Councillor Lambert. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Okay, planning one. Mr. Goddier, do you need to say anything? I'm jumping the gun, sorry. Is there anyone in the members of the public who wish to speak on Planning 1, which is 110 Main Road, Main Street, Cressy?
Yes.
Yes. You need to state your name and address, and you've got 3 minutes.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. My name's Robert Lustigus, and I live in Cressy at 7 Saunders Road, which is exactly opposite the proposed to go on 6 Saunders Road. It was being advertised as 110 Main Street.
Yes.
And it's not been pulled forward. It's actually 6 Saunders Road.
Thanks. Because it's contiguous with the church, 110 is owned by both of them, it was given the same address to the address that was in the system, which is why it was advertised that way.
Okay.
That's all? No, concerning the application posted on the adjoining lot on the 22nd to the 12th, 23, I've been trying to get some professional advice on my objections. Due to the Christmas New Year holiday period, I've not succeeded as yet. I submitted some points to the meeting that came to mind on the 5th of the 1st, 2023, which I note that the end code was prime design since the Clyde. I'm afraid to say that it replies to my concerns and not satisfied. Number one, firstly, there's been no community consultation that I know of. I think it would be courteous when there to be a massive change to a 150-year-old precinct. Two, the proposed development will have substantial view impacts on myself here from both my lounge room and dining room. I've got some pictures here to support. Three, the proposed development has insufficient off-street parking for the number of dwellings. To insinuate that all people do not own or drive cars is, in my view, insulting. Then, see off-street parking, Australian Zen 289 Euro, page 1. Resident funding.
Yeah, sorry, you've only got half a minute left.
Oh, sorry. The proposed development impact on the availability of on-street parking to current residents, school staff, and vehicles checking load restraints, as the frontage of the proposed development is only some 20 metres, a lot of which is taken up by the driveway. It means visitors, relations, care workers, etc. will take the street parking from the present residents.
That's your 3 minutes, I'm afraid. That's it, I'm afraid. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak on planning one? Right, we'll move to planning two. Is there anybody who wishes to speak on planning two, which is 116 lot subdivision, 1 Drummond Street, Perth? Yes.
My name is Vicky Maloney. I live in the Portland Street at Perth. I welcome development in Perth, but believe that the safety of our streets is being misjudged by the planned road layout of this proposed subdivision. Myself and others object to the proposed main road entrance to the subdivision coming off Napoleon Street opposite number 5 Napoleon, causing a significant increase in the number of cars that will be negotiating the blind sharp corner of Napoleon and Phillip Street. The significant light disturbance to the residents at number 5 for all of the vehicles exiting the subdivision in the evenings is totally unfair to the owner of the property and unnecessary. I and many others in the street believe that the best option for entrance to the main road of the proposed subdivision to come off an extension of Phillip Street and for Napoleon Street to become a T intersection with a give way or a stop sign. This will surely increase the safety factor and the intersection will operate the same as the intersection of Cromwell and Phillip Streets. I ask the council request a change to the proposed layout and make it a condition of the subdivision that the main entrance come off an extension of Phillip Street. In my letter of submission, I referred to the lack of parks facilities on the western side of Perth, and looking at the agenda and items for today's meeting, I've seen a very detailed plan for a lovely community space, including a barbecue, shelter, beautiful trees and play facilities on page 422 that can be enjoyed by all. I'm not sure why this plan was not shown with the public documents for comment on the Northern Midlands Council website for the proposed subdivision, but it is really pleasing to see the plan, but I worry that it will not come to fruition as it seems to take up an additional lot in the subdivision. I think lot 52, other than the delegated public open space shown where the detention basin is to be located. I, other parents and grandparents would like a guarantee from council that the plans as shown would be built and there will not be an exchange of money in lieu of public open space, therefore stopping the proposed beautiful park being built. I also reiterate my request that the heritage of the land be recognised. This can be achieved in the naming of the roads and the proposed development. I would hope to see in particular the owners, the McKinnon family and long-time residents of the derelict house ruins, the Powell family, recognised. Molly Johnson, a long-time resident of Perth, maiden name Powell, her ashes were scattered by her descendants at the ruins of the house where she had lived, and I would hope for that to be taken into consideration when names for the roads are considered, perhaps something along the line of McKinnon Avenue in recognition of generations of ownership by the McKinnon family, and Molly Powell Place, or perhaps the park named after Molly, in memory of Molly's love of her final resting place.
Thank you very much. Mr. Goddard, did you wish to answer any of those questions?
Thanks. So with regard to the road layout, I'll just go through the, as they were raised, the road layout. So as the advice from the traffic engineer is the proposed layout where its accesses are proposed does meet the planning scheme requirements with regards to safety. If council were of a mind that it did want to have Phillip Street extended so that it was a T junction, my view is that should be assessed by a traffic expert, because junctions really do need that consideration. If council's going down that way, my recommendation would be that they actually refuse the application, because it would be too big a change to condition it. So if that view, it should be refused, in my opinion. With regard to the public open space, that concept plan for the park wasn't advertised because it wasn't actually submitted with the application. The application proposed some public open space sort of heading northwards and a small block with a detention basin. As officers, as we assessed it, obviously council can take 5% of the land for open space, which is allowed for those lots 53 and 54. Which is where the concept plan was drawn on. The recommendation if council approves this tonight is that those two lots be provided as public open space in addition to what's been provided. So that would be, if council agreed with it, a certainty on the condition. It could be appealed by the appellant, but it would be a certainty on the council's confirmation that it's issued one.
Thank you. And your ideas on those will be forwarded on to the developer?
Yes.
Very, very good ideas.
I've got a copy if you want.
Yes, please. Thank you. Is there anybody else who wishes to speak either for or against the 116 lot subdivision in Perth? Yes.
Hugh McKinnon. I'd just like to thank the council and the representatives for all their work. I certainly understand there are some concerns there. We've tried very much to adhere to the principles of the first development plan. I welcome council's approach to public open space, and we'll certainly work with council to achieve that. I look forward to working together, and I thank you for your comments on the heritage side. I'll certainly look to implement those.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who wishes to speak on planning too?
Is this thing you can also ask the question?
You can, yes. You had the chance to ask two questions.
Sorry,
yes, that's fine.
I wasn't sure.
That's fine.
Given that 6 residences in Napoleon Street qualify for sound mitigation due to the noise from the bypass, would council be considering any conditions or further mitigation measures, because all of these houses are proposed to go in between where people qualify for noise mitigation and where the highway is? I understand that there is a corridor of trees, but they're not for noise mitigation, they're a beautification measure. which are starting to look very lovely. But yeah, is there any condition or thoughts with regards to the noise? Because when everything was done, the highway wasn't there when all of the predictions on noise were made.
Mr. Gobby is the best one to clarify that.
Thanks. So the plan scheme has an attenuation area around highways, which is 50 metres from the boundary of the highway. And subdivisions need to have building envelopes outside of that 50 metres, which this subdivision does. It has the larger lots against the highway, with essentially the backyards will be in the attenuation area and houses can be built outside of that. There's no requirement under the scheme to have a noise report or noise attenuation put into the houses, so long as it's outside of that 50 metres attenuation.
But we've heard in our workshop that that's a building requirement anyway.
Yeah, that's right. So it's mentioned in the workshop that the building standards that people get their energy efficiency, generally they have to have double glazing to get their energy efficiency anyway.
Thank you. It's two questions per person.
First one was a statement, not a question.
Oh, well, it's a question or statement, two things per person. Oh, you can ask, yes.
Hi, I'm Pat Tyler. We're in Apollo Street. What was the traffic count from the recent polling that was done?
So we did, as a result of the representations, have traffic counts put down. I believe they're only taken up today. I haven't seen the results from them.
So we'll let people know?
Yeah, we can forward that to the representatives.
Okay, that's all the people who want to speak on planning 2. We'll move on to planning 3, which is 16 King Street, Cressy. Has anyone got a representative?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. My name is Lydia McLeod. Plan application was denied. I just wanted to know why was it denied? What was the reason?
It's recommended for approval.
Recommended for approval?
Yes.
Okay.
With a condition that rather than being a solid fence, it would have uniform 30% transparency. So partially you can see through.
Is that a particular type of fencing? Is it from the ground up to 30%? That you can see through, or is it from a certain height?
Based on the proposal, it would be the whole height of the fence.
Right. Well, so what kind of fencing are you talking about?
So they proposed a timber fence.
Yes.
Initially they proposed it as a solid timber fence, so there would be no gaps. In this case, to be approved, it would have to have a gap between those palings for the whole height.
You've had more than two questions, I'm sorry. Okay, is there anybody else who wishes to speak?
Yeah, I don't think so. Yes. I think she's wanting clarification on what she actually asked. She's still not.
Well, I thought that was answered.
Well, I don't think so.
Yeah, I believe it's been answered.
Yeah.
Nothing that much else you can add?
Not really.
Is there anyone else who has a question or a statement on planning 3, which is 16 King Street, Cressy? All right, planning 4 is 17 Main Road, Perth. That is three multiple dwellings in Perth. No questions, statements? Planning 5 is three multiple dwellings, 21 Union Street, Longford. Yes.
Hi.
Hey,
my name's Shannon. I live at 2325 Union Street in Longford here. So I thought I should read out my letter.
Yes.
We live next door to the proposed development at 21 Union Street. We are strongly opposed to this development and are very strongly objecting to what the developer has proposed. Firstly, trying to squeeze three dwellings onto a 1,020 square metre block seems very ambitious. We have reviewed the plans and the accompanying documents and have concluded that it does not fit with the established character of that area, especially considering we're in a heritage precinct. There's been no other development of this kind in Union Street, and it would be nice to leave it as it is in its original state. Despite what is written within our application, the proposed development results in a substantial impact on our privacy. The condensed shrubs and garden that is mentioned is sparse during autumn and winter, and our woodshed runs right alongside the fence where there was no growth at all, which leaves us completely exposed to the two units that they're proposing to build, looking right in on us. And where they want to put their business parking spot. Our main living areas are all on that left side of our home. Our living, sitting and dining rooms and kitchen all look out towards the property in question, which is again why we're strongly objecting to this proposal. Currently we feel very protected and maintain a great level of privacy from our neighbours, which is what attracted us to this property several years ago now. We are hidden away from our neighbours but back onto us in George Street with a great hedge and tennis court fence. And our neighbours in the far left corner are well in the way. He can't see us at all. The neighbours in the current dwelling, as we're running into, have no concern to us at all, as there is also a hedge that hides us from them currently. We also have a big problem with the proposed driveway running alongside, which at the moment is a quiet section of our garden. Existing property currently has a driveway on the far side of the property, which doesn't affect us at all. So we don't want that driveway giving access to at least two cars running alongside this side of the property. They're saying that there's going to be car spaces for seven cars, which we're unsure of how that's going to work, but currently the property is actually fenced off there. So from a safety perspective, we're a little bit concerned, because at the moment there's actually no sort of access to our property. Union Street is also already a very busy cut-through street for many residents of Longford, as it's the first turn-off coming into the town. It's a busy street with both cars and foot traffic, especially with a lot of children on bikes and scooters. We're concerned adding another driveway for multiple dwellings with parking for at least two vehicles will have a negative impact on the street and the safety of its current residents.
Thank you. That's in 3 minutes.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay.
Thank you.
Sorry. Thanks.
Is there anybody else who wishes to speak on planning 5? Right. We'll get back to you. We're already moving to planning authority. Okay, planning 1. Planning 1. We go through the planning items now.
Oh, right.
110 Main Street, Cressy.
I'll move for recommendation.
Councillor Adams, and we've got a seconder, Councillor Lambert. Discussion?
Yeah, I think this is a positive development, and I see the objection, but this fits into the planning scheme as recommended by the plan. And I see that the opportunity for older residents to gain some housing in an area that's growing as a referred residential area of Chelsea.
Any further discussion? Councillor Goss.
Okay. Question about the parking for the officer. Can you just explain how the parking works? There's two parks per resident, is that correct?
There's, I guess, seven. So the land is actually zoned community purpose, and the scheme says for any residential use in any zone other than general residential, there's one space per bedroom or two spaces per three bedrooms, plus one visitor space for every five dwellings. So there's 13 bedrooms proposed, so we've got 13 divided by 3, and then times 2 gives us 8.6, and we round it up to 9. So space for the bedrooms plus two visitor spaces gives us 11 spaces. Required, we propose 10, so they're short one space. The traffic assessment assesses the shortfall of parking. It actually assesses a greater shortfall because it's based on the residential zone, and finds that it doesn't have an adverse impact on parking in the street.
And my second question was going to be about, is there turning availability inside there, so people are we entering and exiting in the forward motion?
Yes, the plans in the attachments do show the ability for cars to enter, turn on site and exit forwards.
Councillor Andrews, sorry. I was a little bit concerned that two lovely trees in the hedge had only taken down for this development, which is a good development for Crescent. It was mentioned before that it may be that we could have as a condition of this that the hedge at least is retained.
Yes, councillors wish that, I'd suggest within condition four, which is landscaping. Says landscaping must be in accordance with endorsed plans. You can say except that the hedge along the front boundary must be maintained, sorry, retained and maintained. Yep.
So the mover and the seconder are happy with that?
Yes.
Any further discussion?
Density, 2,090 square metres, roughly 8 units.
Yeah.
Because I reckon it's a fabulous development, by the way. Yeah. I'm just worried about the density, whether they try to cram one thing in the end like that, which would solve a lot of problems.
I'm just looking where that's addressed in here. So, because it's a community purpose zone, there's not a specified density for that zone. So really, even if there was a concern that there was too many, I'd say we haven't got grounds to knock it back on that. Because of the
zone. I don't know how much about community buildings, to be honest with you. And what about the scrambleability? So although we still own by the church holds bolts.
Yeah, as proposed, they'll be owned by, I'm not sure if the church might be one of their agencies or an agency.
Yeah. But they'll be owned holds bolts, not split up.
No, I mean, there's nothing to stop them coming back to strata title. Okay. But at the moment, that's not proposed. Okay.
No further discussion. I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Planning 2, the 116 lot subdivision at 1 Drummond Street, Perth. I need a mover and a seconder. Councillor Archer and Councillor Andrews. Discussion, please. Councillor Brooks?
I support the subdivision, but I don't support the traffic issues. And I'm not sure how Mr. Gaudier can advise me on this, whether the traffic assessment can be revisited. I don't believe that traffic assessment is acceptable. When it was done in the middle of COVID, no traffic. And I believe that intersection, with Napoleon Street and Phillip Street, is an accident waiting to happen on a good day, let alone a bad day. Now you've got a lot of cars coming around that corner, school buses and one thing and another, that have got to take up the whole of that road to get around that corner. And you've got 116 or maybe more cars coming in and out of there all day long. It poses a big safety risk in my opinion. I'd like to see, which has been brought up by a member of the public, I'd like to see that road, Phillip Street, continue along there and have the T-junction in there. I think we need to go back and revisit it to make sure we get it right. No good of approving it, then 6 months later, we've had multiple accidents and for the sake of some more time, let's get it right and make the subdivision a really good subdivision, which it is now, but with a better traffic plan, I believe. And I'm not sure how I can support it and make that traffic change. You may be able to guide me, but I want to support it, but I won't support it unless that traffic issue is resolved.
Thanks. So I think if council were to condition it, that they give us amended plans showing Phillip Street extended, that's going to change the layout. In my view, it's too big a change, too substantial a change to condition it. We'd be at risk of not having actually decided on the application. We've got until the 16th of February before this application expires. So there's two possibilities. One is council to give its direction, as you've indicated, regarding traffic, which would give us time to talk to the applicant, see if they're willing to revise the traffic assessment and the layout. The other option is really that council would have to refuse it tonight if they disagree with the current layout. That would give the applicant the opportunity either to appeal that, and we can possibly sort that out, resolve that through mediation, or possibly go to a hearing. In either case, it's going to be a new application that would have to be put before the public and come to council.
Does time let us do that?
So on this one, we've got until the 16th of February before it gets deemed approval. If the decision's not made tonight, it couldn't be made by council because it won't get to the next council meeting in February. It would have to.
We could delegate that. Councillor Adams.
Thank you. This is a major development for the municipality, and of course is a part of what the highway development has defined Perth. Therefore, the township itself is going to be is defined in planning terms by that highway. Been a lot of good work done with the planting of the trees and trying to bring that together. Looking at the open spaces and the other two that was mentioned tonight by representation, they'll certainly go into that development and will certainly be a substantial playground area. Plus the walk through down to Sheepwash Creek, which will be a major green area for that whole development. And if other developments go on the other side of Drummond Street, also access is pretty easy there. There's a traffic argument here. I don't see any report that tells me that there's a major traffic issue with the future traffic that may enter here. The traffic report and the traffic impact assessment says that a curve warning and 35 kilometres an hour advisory speed signs on the approaches to Phillip and Napoleon Street junction and a B1 barrier line must be installed. So there's quite substantial work to be done in this space. Napoleon Street must be constructed from the proposed southern junction to Edward Street. The former junction with Napoleon Street has a major and priority road, and I understand Napoleon Street has been widened, has to be widened to take more traffic, and I also the buses that have been mentioned. So there is there's a considerable amount of detail in here of how to what is necessary for this approval, to give approval to this subdivision. So I think those matters could be resolved by the general manager signing off on it, and the general manager having a delegation to make sure that corner with the Phillip Street junction onto Napoleon Street is the issue.
The issue is I was proposing that they continue on to Phillip Street and make that a T-section, Napoleon Street, like is it Cromwell? The one down there. So you haven't got all those cars coming out onto Napoleon Street and then exiting around there, which is easy to do if you listen to the Mr. Gollier.
However, tonight we've got to decide on this application.
Yeah, it's the one before us.
Councillor Archer first, then Councillor McCarr.
Could I just say I drove past the area today and I consider the Phillip Street Napoleon Street corner to be quite easy to fix up with a bit of road widening. It's a standard corner. I have some concerns with the people who have spoken tonight about the lights going into their yard, but at some point someone along Napoleon Street is going to have lights coming into their yard from one of those roads. In regards to traffic, I also asked questions earlier about the future of the roads on the southern end being connected to Drummond Street, which might have the effect for a lot of people going south at first to reduce the traffic going into Phillip Street. I do understand that most people going to Launceston obviously would go through Phillip Street. So I think in regards to the traffic, The cars do have to go somewhere, and hopefully the council in the future can open up some access to, in the south with development. But at some point, someone coming onto Napoleon Street is going to have headlights shining onto their house. It's a bad thing, but that's the way it is.
Councillor McCullough.
Yeah, I actually, contrary to my popular belief, I actually think it's a fantastic outcome for Perth, but I just think it's a little bit infantile due to the traffic situation. Now, Councillor Archer just said it's had to have people having traffic lights in their front yard. Well, I disagree with that. One of our visitors today, and Pat is in the audience tonight, or in the gallery tonight, has just had a massive situation with the noise that's fixed, and now she's going to have a junction straight up to the house with traffic lights of possibly 3 tonne cars coming out of a morning or whatever, I don't know, with their lights on. To me, the same proponent is rezoning the land adjacent to this, and we can't adjudicate that, but what that says to me is that ultimately we could get a better outcome. We could get a better outcome where the roads, which is Edward Street and Phil Street, could actually continue on. So no unnecessary cross-sections are put into the play. I'm not convinced about the stormwater based on tonight's conversation with the planning officer. And I believe, and the noise was the concern, we can't do anything about it. I find it hard to believe when the road standard wasn't built to where it should have been. But most of all, I think it's a really good project. I just have concerns over the traffic, and that would deter me without a better outcome. I would encourage the proponents to go and get a better outcome with the traffic layout, and then we'd all be happy. But anyway, that's just me.
All right, no further discussion. I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against?
Aye.
Can you put your hands up against, Councillor McCullough and Councillor Brooks? So the motion's carried. Plan 3 is 16 King Street, Cressy. Councillor Goss.
Move the recommendation.
I have a seconder. Councillor Andrews. Any discussion? Councillor Brooks.
Going back to the fence, the 30%, is that 30 millimetre gap? From top to bottom?
Not necessarily. 30%, whatever that works out to. The design can change to suit that.
Yeah, so what is the gap then, if it's 30%?
Well, if the fence panelings were 70 mil wide, then you could have the 30 centimetre gap, or 30 millimetre, and that would be the 30% transparency. So it sort of depends on the width of the panelings and things like that.
No further discussion? I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Planning 4 is 17 Main Road, Perth. Councillor Goss.
I move the recommendation.
Councillor Andrews is seconding. Any discussion? No discussion? Yes, Councillor Andrews.
I'd just like to say that it's pleasing to see further dwellings like these going up at Perth. It's a good result for Perth and for the people involved.
Absolutely. Yep. I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Planning 5 is 21 Union Street, Longford. Councillor McCullough.
What's he moving?
You're moving the recommendation that's there, that we refuse it.
Yeah, I'll second it.
Councillor Brooks is seconding. Councillor Goss, you had to hand it.
I'm going to second it.
Yeah. Any discussion?
I just want to make a comment. I just can't be convinced that it's not too much. The density is just far too high. It's a heritage area, and I think there's better alternatives.
Councillor Brooks.
Yeah, and I think that, the roof pitch nearly says it all for me. It just doesn't blend in with the area. You've got a heritage area, and you've got a skillion roof. Like, it doesn't fit nicely within that area and the surrounding houses that are there. Too many units on the block, really, for the amenity of the area.
No further discussion? I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Okay, we move out of planning. Councillor Goss, Councillor Adams. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. We'll go back to Perth Local District Committees. Oh, we've got to adjourn for our meal, yes, sorry. Okay. Yes, absolutely, yes. No problem. Thank you. Thanks for coming.